Welcome to this guide to help you get started in Twisted 1.18. In this video, we will cover everything you need to know about Entwisted by providing helpful tips, advice, and clearing common misconceptions. This is an updated version of my previous beginner's guide video, which was for version 1.17. As always, timestamps will be in the description below in case you want to get to certain pieces of information. For those who haven't even touched or heard the game yet, Twisted is a game about storm chasing. This means you are tasked with chasing tornadic storms in the fictional Midwestern state called Kisota. Each storm is different, bringing different kinds of tornadoes that vary in strength, shape, and size. Vehicles are your best friend in the game, as you will be driving for most of the time. There is a good assortment of vehicles to choose from, and it might be a bit overwhelming on which ones you want to choose. Right now, we're only going to focus on the dealership vehicles. The first car you will get is a Chevy 454 SS, which is free. This will serve as a good starting point. It has a top speed of 90 miles an hour, and you are able to purchase both a mezzanette and a lift kit for it. We'll get to what those are in a bit. After working up some cash, you now have some choices to make. This is where you can branch out into different paths for your next vehicles. It's up to you how you want to go, and you don't have to follow this tree, but it's what I recommend. If you want to take the top route, go for the Subaru Forester, or alternatively, if you bought the Starter Pack Game Pass, the Ford Expedition. These are both very good mid-tier dealership cars. The Forester has a top speed of 100 miles an hour, while the Expedition has a top speed of 90 miles an hour. They both have mezzanettes available to purchase. Next, you have another choice. If you want to stay faster on roads, go for the Dodge Charger. This is the fastest car in the game, which has a top speed of 125 miles an hour. The Charger only has a mezzanette available to purchase. If you want to go fast on dirt roads, go buy one of the three trucks, being the Toyota Tundra, Ford F-150, and Chevy Silverado. These trucks, when a lift kit is equipped, are the fastest dirt road vehicles in the game, going 85 miles an hour on dirt roads. After this, you should reach your first chaser vehicle, which should be the Dominator 1. We'll explain these later as well. If you want to take the bottom route, you would want to start off with the Toyota Tundra. This route is better if you prefer driving on dirt roads. Just make sure you have a lift kit equipped. Now, about what mezzanettes and lift kits are. These are modifications that you can apply to your cars. To do so, go to the dealership, click on your car, click garage, and click purchase on the one you want on the bottom right. Then, click equip to put them onto your vehicle. Mezzanettes are a device that reads the wind speeds around you, which is super useful for letting you know if you're about to be picked up by a tornado. It is also a method of gaining money. Lift kits are an attachment that you can equip on trucks, which will let you drive faster on dirt roads. These are incredibly useful because dirt roads can serve as good shortcuts. While on the topic of road surfaces, I want to mention that you should try to stick to roads. It is not a good idea to drive on grass, because in all vehicles you are very slow in doing so. This can be dangerous because if you cut across a field with a tornado right behind you, it will catch up to you. A lot of new players make this mistake and end up dying. You should also use dirt roads as a last resort, or a shortcut if you know you're going to make it in time. Vehicles without a lift kit do lose a good portion of their speed when on dirt roads, so make sure you know what you're doing. Moving past that, let's get to the best of the vehicles in the game, the chaser vehicles. These vehicles are built for storm chasing, with some of these able to go inside tornadoes. I'm only going to briefly go over these as they're fairly new to the game. You can find these in the warehouse section. Regular vehicles get completely swept off the ground at 95 miles an hour, but these vehicles are much stronger. The first chaser vehicle you should be buying, the Dominator 1, has an undeployed wind threshold of 130 miles an hour. When deployed, it can withstand up to 170 miles an hour. This vehicle is incredibly useful and will hold up for a while. Briefly covering the rest of the chaser vehicles, you have the Doghouse. This is a low-end chaser, which is a vehicle used more for probing. As of now, it's just like a regular vehicle. In the future, it will get more functionality. Next, you have the rest of the Dominators, those being Dominator 2 and Dominator 3. The Dominator vehicles are great, because they can deploy quickly. Besides that, you have the TIV-1 and TIV-2. The TIV-2 is the strongest interceptor in the game, which can withstand winds that reach 220 miles an hour. There is a trade-off with that, which is its slow deploy time. And finally, we have the DAW, or Doppler on Wheels. This vehicle is a supporting vehicle that sits in the background providing helpful data for everyone. If you want to learn about each vehicle in depth, I have plans to make detailed sub-guides on specific topics, so stay tuned for that. For new players, getting money can be confusing, but it's quite easy once you know what you're doing. There are six ways of getting money, those being probes, mezzanette wins, driving, cutting trees, working jobs, and tending wounded. Probes are the most rewarding method of cash gain, only if done correctly though. To get a probe, you have to go to the warehouse and click the probes tab at the bottom right of your screen. There are three probes, being probe 1, probe 2, and probe 3. All probes reward the same amount of cash and they're all the same functionally. Probe 2 and 3 have cameras, while probe 1 does not have one. You can hold up to 3 of any probe in your inventory at a time. Once you have your probe set, head out to a tornado. When you're in the path of one, click to drop the probe down. You want a direct hit in order to get the best data and cash possible. Here are a few tricks to make sure your probes will reward you as much cash as they can. Keep an eye on the tornado. If it's moving left or right, it's heading away from you. If it's not moving getting bigger, it's coming directly for you. Check your radar too. The warning polygons can be pretty useful for showing its direction. You also want to make sure the tornado be strong enough to give you enough cash to pay back the probes. If the TVS is green or yellow, it would be best to hold off until it strengthens to orange, red, or pink. This is because once a probe starts to make money and you pick it up, you'll have to rebuy it. This does not apply to probes that didn't make any money. As it's gaining money, you can click the probe button at the bottom of your screen to see the wins it's currently reading, the highest of red, the amount of money it made, as well as the camera's perspective. Mezzanettes are a high-risk, high-reward method of gaining cash. When you read wins in excess of 60 miles an hour, you will start to earn cash. Be very careful when you're doing this, because if you get too close to a stronger tornado, your car will start to slide and you may get picked up. These are much more efficiently used on the dedicated chaser vehicles in the warehouse section, due to them being able to withstand very high wind speeds. Driving is the simplest of them all. It's self-explanatory. As you drive, you'll be rewarded a small sum of cash. While it is small, you drive a lot in this game, so that little amount adds up to be pretty large. Cutting trees is an underutilized method of gaining money. In order to do this, you need the Chainsaw Game Pass, which is 150 Robux. Tornadoes commonly knock down trees, and oftentimes these trees land in the road and block it. You can use a trusty chainsaw to chop them up and gain some cash for doing so. If you are in a forest, you'll make a decent amount of cash for doing this. In 1.18, jobs are added. Currently, you can only work at Siriway, but more businesses will be made available to work at in the future. When you step inside Siriway, you're immediately considered a worker. A customer will walk up to the counter and ask you for what they want. You have to click the ingredients on the screen in front of you and then click finish order. Then, you'll have to grab the items behind you and make the food by placing it in the microwave. Click on the customer who wanted the order and they'll disappear. This will reward you money and is a very good way to earn a quick buck between storms. Finally, we have healing the wounded. This is only possible through the EMS pass, which can be purchased for 300 Robux. When a violent tornado hits a town, wounded NPCs with varying amounts of health will spawn. It is up to you to help revive them or cover the dead bodies up. Saving an NPC will result in a bit of cash, while dead ones do not. Your thermodynamics are very important to look at. These values will help you determine what kind of storms you'll get and how strong they'll be. At the top of your thermodynamics, you'll see a bar that tells you what today's risk is. This is a leveled system that gives you a rough idea on the severity of the storms. There are 6 levels, being thunderstorm, marginal, slight, enhanced, moderate, and high. High-risk days are the most dangerous, as they spawn the biggest and the baddest of tornadoes. At the left side, you have the wind direction. This is good to look at to see the motion of the storms for the day. To the right, you have the main values. These will tell you everything about the storms for the day. The temperature and dew point determine what your humidity percentage will be. Your humidity corresponds to how much rain you will get. If the value is within 60% or lower, you will get lower precipitation storms. This is good because you have much better visibility in the storm, which will be easier to see the tornado. If the value is higher than 70%, you'll get high precipitation storms. The rain in these storms get really thick and can obscure the tornado, making it pretty hard to see. Lapse rate determines how big the hail will be and the frequency of lightning. Cape is the big one that everyone likes to pay attention to. The cape value is how quickly the storms form and how strong they'll be. The higher this number is, the crazier these storms can get. In order for the best storm performance, you want these numbers to be balanced out and within the same color range. If the color range difference is too significant, for example, a green lapsrate and a red cape, this could choke the storm performance, making them not as good as they should be. Don't let the lower risk or choke days discourage you from playing, though. These are actually my personal favorite kinds of days, as they balance smaller, photogenic tornadoes and scary, violent tornadoes. You are also guaranteed several tornadoes each day, so getting a thunderstorm risk does not mean you're missing tornadoes. The radar is our most important tool in Twisted. The radar can tell you a lot about the storms and show road layouts and useful landmarks to help you navigate through Kisota. Starting off, we're going to explain the icons on the radar screen. Introduced in 1.18, a map legend was added at the bottom right. This is useful to help you understand what each of these icons mean. The first page of the legend shows the different radar reflectivity colors of rain and hail. The deeper the color, the thicker it is. These deeper colors can also appear when a town is being hit, which is called a debris ball. This is because the debris gets sent high into the air, which causes the radar to see it. On the next page, we have tornado symbology. The text explains it pretty well. The rotation means that there is a mesocyclone spinning and a tornado is imminent. The color triangles are the TVS, which stands for Tornado Vortex Signature. These give you a rough idea of the tornado's wind speeds, and it shows what they are here. Red and pink TVS tornadoes are incredibly dangerous, so be careful around them. The third page are just other general symbols. These are good symbols to know, as they do tell you some pretty useful information. The lightning icon is good to see how frequent lightning strikes are within the storm. The hail symbol shows what the hail icon is, and by looking at it, you can tell how big the hail is within the storm. The gas station icon tells you where all the gas stations are located in the map. At gas stations, you can obviously refill cars, but also you can buy food to heal yourself. When you take damage, your screen will get blurrier the lower your health is, and it might get annoying being unable to see. To fix this, you can walk up to the counter and purchase food to eat, which will heal you. Not only that, but you can buy gas cans to take with you, in case you need fuel when you're out in the middle of nowhere, as well as a flashlight to help you illuminate dark areas when you're not in your car. The probe icon tells you where you have placed your probes. The house icon shows you where your own home is at. The storm shelter symbol shows you all the community shelter locations, which can be useful to know in case you have to hide from a very dangerous tornado. Beyond the map legend symbols, we have warning polygons. Yellow warning polygons are severe thunderstorm warnings. These are issued when there is hail with a diameter of 1 inch or more. Red warning polygons are general tornado warnings. They appear when there is a rotation, all the way up to orange TVS tornadoes. PDS and tornado emergency polygons are both pink, but mean different things. PDS polygons, which stands for particularly dangerous situation, are issued when a red or pink TVS tornado is present. These look like a pink box. Tornado emergency polygons are a bit different. They are issued when a red or pink TVS tornado is in the path of a highly populated area. The areas that they get warned for are Hibbing, Hazleton, Wadena, and Chandler. If you see these pink boxes with a black line in them, be very careful because a lot of destruction is about to occur. You can also right-click these polygons to see EAS information, which gives a quick warning synopsis. With that out the way, we should briefly cover radar functions. On the bottom left of your radar, you have a panel displaying a bunch of information. At the top of that, you have your time of day and the seconds till radar update. Below that are the map markers. This allows you to toggle on and off different icons on the radar, in case you want a cleaner look. The highlight player tool is pretty simple, but very useful. To use it, you click highlight player, and then the username of the player you want to see. This will bring the radar to where the player is, which is good to see where your friends are at. The measurement tool is a tool to measure distance between things. To use it, click between two points. This is good for trying to measure total tornado width, or just to see how large things are. And finally, we have tornado tracks. With this, you can see all the tornado paths that happened in the entire server. To use it, you click on the button, click the day you want to see, and which tornado of the day. This will bring the path up, which you can use to see how large the tornado was. If you hover your mouse over a path, it shows how big the funnel was, as well as how long the tornado tracked for. Now that you're familiar with the icon symbology, let's talk about storm structures on radar. When these storms form, they start off as small blobs, but will eventually grow into a full-blown supercell. Pay attention to the structure as it develops, because there are clear